Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street at Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We're the beautiful Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Keywords 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and the Helscher's General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Helscher's General Store, 7 miles south of Sealands Grove. Get the boots is 1-3 moving in tomorrow morning. All right. So, once again, the start of Mark Sanchez at quarterback. Yay. And the Tim Tebow saga continues. I don't get it. I'm baffled by this whole thing. They're out of the playoffs. They are irrelevant.
Well, I can tell you exactly why Tebow's not playing. Because he ain't going to be there next year.
But it's irrelevant if he's not playing. Okay? Who starts for the Jets is irrelevant on Sunday. They don't. The game they're in doesn't matter.
Well, I see what you're saying, though.
I mean, why is it a story?
Well, because it's not Tebow.
In New York City.
Well, there you go. That's a good point, Danny.
I think the whole thing is, I mean, why? Why do fans in Minnesota, Chicago, Dallas, Washington, why do they care if Tim Tebow is going to sit?
Well, there's an easy explanation. If you go to somebody in Nebraska and say, hey, name one player on the Jets roster, I guarantee you they're going to name Tim Tebow before anybody else.
But they're out of the playoffs. They're playing a totally irrelevant game this week.
Well, so's three-quarters of the NFL.
Okay. You have big games. Okay? Packers-Vikings, big game. Okay? Cowboys-Redskins, big game. Okay? They're big games.
Cincy-Baltimore.
Well, Cincy's in, so why the...
Well, it's going to decide the division.
Oh, yeah, okay. Ooh.
I'm sorry, it's not an NFC game.
No, but I mean, what? You don't even get a... What, I guess you get a home game out of it, right?
A home game at least, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I guess that's important.
It is for the gate.
Baltimore's already locked up the division.
Well, I thought if Cincinnati won that, they'd win it on the tiebreaker, though.
According to the ESPN standings.
Oh, well, then there it is.
Z by them, which means clinch division.
I thought if Cincinnati beat Baltimore, they held the tiebreaker.
Baltimore's got the better divisional record. I think it comes down to that.
Oh, so it goes down to like a third-tier tiebreaker then. Interesting.
Has anybody figured out how much money the Jets paid Tebow per play this season?
First of all, thank goodness you're here.
No, stop.
All right, let's.
I want to tell you, I apologize for being late. The traffic is just unbelievable.
Cody was talking about that. Jade has been referencing that in the news.
It is unbelievable. I think apparently everybody's heading to Brewers Outlet. Is the only thing I can think of.
I know I'm headed there.
Yeah, because it's from the upper end of Northumberland on Route 11 all the way down. Beyond Sealands Grove. It's just one big parking lot.
And nobody's on the way to New York. It's on the way south.
Well, no one's going to see the Jets play, apparently.
Everybody's going to D.C.
So, yeah, heading south to avoid the snowstorm. So I got stuck in the traffic, but I listened to Kevin and you enjoying the first hour.
Thanks.
The traffic was wicked.
Brutal.
But it is Brewers Outlet they're headed to, which makes sense to me.
I'm not surprised. Terrell Pryor is going to start for the Raiders this week.
The former
against the Chargers.
Yeah, the former Jeanette Jayhawk.
Yeah.
The most expensive tattoos in the history of the NCAA.
Yeah, there you go.
He's going to get the start for the Raiders against the Chargers. They thought, hey, look, what does it matter? Let's give it a shot, see what he can do. That's what they're going to do. The Jets probably should have done that with Tebow. But it takes too much to revamp the offense to do it. Because you can't run a standard NFL offense with him as your quarterback.
Well, the Jets wasted that opportunity. I mean, they wanted Tebow because they wanted to do so many different things. They did nothing. They did nothing with it. And you know where you can point the finger of the blame? One place. Mister, we're going to the Super Bowl next year.
Not known as an offensive genius.
You know what? You can't. You know what? I'm not going to buy into that completely. And here's the reason why. Okay? I think what people are failing to understand in all this is that a huge level of responsibility in this, I think, might lie in what you see in practice with Tim Tebow.
Or what we don't know about.
Right. I mean, they must look at him every single week. I mean, you know, because Tony Sperano is the offensive coordinator. Now, who ran the Wildcat with Ronnie Brown down in Miami? Tony Sperano. There must be something that they're seeing and they're saying, we can't do that with him.
Well, I understand that, but the Jets have a head coach that doesn't like to keep too many secrets and is very, very quickly ready to tell you what's wrong or what's right. And if there was a problem with Tebow, he would have come out and said, listen, this guy stinks. We should. I don't even know why we have him, but we've got him. We're going to use him where we can.
Yeah, but see, you're wrong about that. I've never heard him trash a player.
All right, well, maybe he wouldn't do it in direct words, but...
I've never heard him trash a player. I have never heard him do that. You know, he may be, we're going to make the playoffs, confident, this, that, and the other thing. You know, everyone saw the Hard Knocks things with the Jets and how he handled things and blah, 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 blah. I've never heard him trash a player, right? And nor should a coach go out there and trash a player. I mean, if you want to keep the players in your locker room, you know, with you and together, you address it to them and you don't address it up front to the media. You don't trash players. I've never heard him trash a player.
Although there was a report yesterday about Tim Tebow, some leaks to, I think, ESPN, that really trashed Tebow in some of the comments, and they were all attributed by the media to coming from the Jets front office. And my question is, do you think, Steve, this is a case where the Jets front office, general manager, etc., they make the trade arrangements to get Tebow there, which does not necessarily make the coaching staff all that joyous and celebrating, because you know, they had Sanchez was their guy, and they have a system that works with Sanchez, and now the front office says, get Tebow in here, and now you got to change your whole way of doing business.
Well, to be honest with you, though, when they got Tebow, remember, when the Jets made the AFC Championship game in back-to-back years, okay, Sanchez was the quarterback, albeit younger. But what other element did they have in their offense that they mixed in from time to time that helped give them some success? Brad Smith, who ran the Wildcat. Now, Brad Smith's now with Buffalo. Okay? So there was at least some logic to bringing a component back that had made the Jets offensively successful, at least help them have success. But the fact that he isn't starting or playing this week and that Sanchez is starting, on the level of irrelevance in the sports world, is very high on the irrelevant scale.
Why don't they just deactivate him, clear out his locker, and wish him well in Jacksonville or wherever he's going? I mean, in all seriousness, what's the sense of, other than somebody getting hurt, they still have a backup quarterback?
Well, McElroy can't play.
Oh, then that's why Tebow's there then.
He's the two guy. McElroy has a concussion, which he hid, by the way.
Ah.
Now, you know that if Rex Ryan has a problem with Tim Tebow, well, I think there is a problem here. And he may not, as you said, Steve, he may not come out and say it, although that really does surprise me the way he is, to not come out and say he has an issue with him. But he actually just bypassed him to go with an untested guy right now. And when an opportunity comes out to play Tebow, he's like, well, I'm going to go back to Sanchez. I know he's not the greatest. I know he hasn't done anything that we wanted him to do this year. But I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to go with him instead of Tebow. That's really a slap in the face right there. I mean,
that's him stating in no uncertain terms, look, we look at these guys all the time. That guy gives me the best chance to win. If you think that's the guy that gives you the best chance to win, you play him. If you don't think the other guy gives you a chance to win, you don't play him.
And I get that. But if there's not an underlying problem here with maybe Tebow and Rex Ryan directly, why is it that he doesn't come out and say, listen, he looks better in practice? Instead, he doesn't give an explanation and just comes out and said, well, Sanchez is going to be our starter. I mean, that's what really is causing this. When a coach comes up and says, listen, we're going to play this guy with this guy because we think we have a better chance to win, at least there's a reason behind it. It's like, well, we're going to go with Sanchez. See ya. Got to go.
Well, he does say he gives us the best chance to win. And I'm telling you, in their system, he does. I mean, he gives them the best chance to win in that system. I mean, last year in watching him play, first of all, Tebow is a great personality. He represents a lot of really good things. Okay, so personality-wise, how he conducts himself and so forth, okay, you have to give him, obviously, his just due, okay, as a person.
And he dates hot women, too, as far as I could tell.
Well done, Bob. Well done. Nice pickup on that, Bob.
Well, we must be the personality. That's all I'm thinking.
Right.
Sorry about that, Steve.
We're fine. That was a good pickup, though. I liked it. But you look at what he did with Denver last year. I know there were all these dramatic moments and so forth. But the reason Denver was in the position where they needed dramatic moments is because he was so mediocre the first three quarters of the game. He doesn't throw the ball well enough on this level yet.
Well, don't tell that to about a million Steelers fans. Cause,
yeah, really.
Man, Kevin still cries at the mention of last year's game with Steelers.
Well, he threw the ball well on that play. It's also blown coverage.
Yeah. That and blown coverage will get you there every time, right to the end zone.
But I'll tell you right now, Rex Ryan did not like this deal from day one. He's not a Tebow fan, period. I mean, and I know you're going to make fun of that, Steve, but I'm just saying he's not a big fan of Tim Tebow. He's a big Sanchez guy because wasn't that his first-round draft pick in 2009 with Sanchez?
And they also went to back-to-back AFC championship games with him.
Yeah, pretty good.
Well, but he's also that was also several years ago with a lot better wide receiver core.
Better wide receiver core, and Brad Smith every once in a while running the Wildcat where it was no issue. I mean, you look at Tebow's numbers last year with Denver. Oh, okay, let me ask you. Okay, let's just do this blind. What was Tebow's completion percentage last year with Denver?
54.
Nope. 46.
46? I was going to say 45 next.
Yeah.
I knew it was right around 50.
I mean, this is a starting quarterback who threw for 1,700 yards and 12 touchdowns. Okay? Now, he wasn't the starter the entire time. But if you look at you don't sit there and go, oh, there's a star. I mean, let's take it in this context. Robert Griffin III, Russell Wilson, and Andrew Luck are all rookie quarterbacks, okay? Two of them are first-round picks, and one of them is a third-round pick. In the National Football League, those three young men have done more in games than in three seasons than he's done. Because all three of them are better throwers.
But three seasons, though, is that fair? Because he's really only played one.
Well, it doesn't matter if he's played one or not. Robert Griffin III's played one. Who would you rather have?
I agree with that.
Who's a better NFL quarterback? Him? Andrew Luck. Okay, Andrew Luck took over a team that won two games. He's in the playoffs with 10 wins. Russell Wilson. They signed Matt Flynn because they didn't have a quarterback. He's the quarterback.
Listen, the Steelers signed Tim Tebow as the backup quarterback. I will welcome him to Pittsburgh because I don't think he's that bad of a quarterback. I think he brings an intangible that very few players, let alone quarterbacks, have. The guys around him like to play when he's in charge of it. He may not be the spectacular quarterback, but he brings a variable that not many players have, and that's the fact that the team around him thinks that they can win at any time with him at the helm.
Huh?
Denver
didn't think that.
Yeah, I was going to say, Denver.
No,
okay,
Denver took advantage of some of an opportunity.
Denver went and got Peyton Manning.
Right. But I'm saying the players. Not, you're talking to me, you're talking management. The players. Every time you hear a player talk about Tim Tebow, there is nothing even close to being negative talk. I love playing
right.
with this guy. This guy makes me feel like we can win at any time. That's what I'm talking about.
That goes back to my comment about his girlfriend. That's why there's those other guys saying.
That right. might be. You might be right.
It could be the girlfriend. Never underestimate that factor.
I'll try not to. Okay, against the Steelers, he threw for 316 yards, right? In the playoff game. I want to ask you, what was his completion percentage in that game?
56.
47. He actually was under the Mendoza line in that game, too.
But the point is, who cares? He won the game. He threw passes.
You're
who
right.
cares?
There's no question. I agree with you. It's results-based. There's no doubt, okay? But you can't keep existing with, okay? This is 2012 National Football League, okay? 13-27, 18-39, 10-21, 2-8, 9-20, 9-18, 10-15, that's really good, 21-40, 12-22, that's not bad. I can live with that. Well, as it was 11-22, 13-29, 6-22, 10-21, 9-26. Okay, I just outlined his last 12 games with Denver.
Let's use Pittsburgh as an example. Let's say Pittsburgh comes out the next 2 years and Ben has decent years statistically, but they don't make the playoffs for another 2 years. Who do you think is going to be blamed for that before anything else?
Well, the quarterback is obviously going to be
right.
a focal point of what goes on. But the thing is you look at these games that they played, Denver, okay? Beat Kansas City, okay? This is last year. Defense gave up 10 points, okay? Beat the Jets. Defense gave up 13. Won in overtime against San Diego. Defense gave up 13. Okay, then they had the wild one with Minnesota. It was a 35-32 game. Okay, he played pretty well in that game. They won it. Okay, so let's give him credit where credit's due. Okay, gave up 10 in a victory over Cincinnati. Okay, then they lost to New England 41-23. They just don't match up with New England. Okay, gave up 40 in the loss to Buffalo. Okay, gave up 7 in a loss to Kansas City. Okay.
Well,
look at all the games here I'm talking about where the defense gave up less than 20 points.
But can you deny that he might be considered a clutch quarterback? I mean, he's made a lot of big plays when it's counted the most.
I think we're going to know that in about next 2 months. Let's just see who bites it and is willing to
it'll
shell
be
out.
It'll be Jacksonville or the Canadian Football League, and he'll help. You know what? And he'll help out Jacksonville in terms of putting some excitement and zip down there. Maurice Jones-Drew though says he wants out. We'll see. I mean, the Miami comeback was incredible last year.
Yeah, but
when they
like...
beat the Dolphins 18-15, but Sean Prater bailed that team out. Sean Prater had more clutch plays than Tebow did.
Yeah, but there's nothing like playing for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers in late November up in the plains.
I'm telling you, if he goes to the Toronto Argonauts, Steve, get your passport. We're going.
Yeah. That's exactly. But you know what? The CFL has been good for some quarterbacks, okay? Dieter Brock, it was very good for, and then he got to the NFL. Joe Theismann spent 3 years in the CFL.
That's right.
Honing his craft, and it helped him out along the way. So there have been guys that have gone to the CFL, honed their craft. Doug Flutie
made a career, yeah.
Right. Doug Flutie, Warren Moon,
absolutely.
Joe Theismann, Dieter Brock, all these guys went into the CFL and did some things. If he went to the CFL, it would not hurt his career. Okay, it would not hurt his career. If he went to Jacksonville, it wouldn't hurt his career either. He does have to get out of New York. He does have to leave there. No question about it.
And Kevin will pack his bags and join him down in Jacksonville.
Is he a good instinctive runner? Yes. Does he see the field well enough? No. Does he throw the ball well enough in the league with accuracy? Because the biggest part of the NFL as a quarterback, we can talk about arm strength, footwork, blah, 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 blah. It's all about accuracy being number one. If you are accurate with the football, you are now a player. Tom Brady is not going to throw the ball 80 yards on a line. But Tom Brady, when he sees Wes Welker or Branch or whomever over the middle and has to put it on a line where he leads them into yards after the catch, he will do it almost every time. As will Manning. As will, when Eli Manning is going well, I think there's something wrong with him. Roethlisberger, we see that with him. Accuracy. Drew Brees, accuracy. Aaron Rodgers, accuracy. Tim Tebow's not accurate with the football, but he's still just a kid. There's still time for him. Getting out of New York's the best thing he can do. All right, news bottom of the hour. Cody's going to tell you about that traffic. She's going to tell you about the forecast as well, which has a little bit of snow in it starting just before the sun rises tomorrow. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Oh, it's the time of the week. And no matter what he's done, he's even tried to manipulate the games that are picked. It's been remarkable. Kevin, I want to ask.
Yes.
Fans were coming up to you yesterday about some mysterious event.
Well, it seems as though there were a few people besides me listening on the way out to Lewistown yesterday and heard about a dinner that's going to be at the country club that a lot of people are invited to. And I was supposed to find out more about this and get the date and time because they didn't hear my name mentioned.
Bob, do you recall a conversation like that?
The Fifth Amendment to the Constitution guarantees me the right to remain silent.
Well done, Bob.
But
well by an attorney.
But having said that, I don't have the ability to remain silent.
Okay, do you realize there's an archive of the program.
Okay. Do you recall a conversation like that?
No, absolutely not, Your Honor.
I did not think you...
Hold on. He's not under oath. If he is, I'm going for perjury.
Danny.
I'm here.
Danny. How about a Fresca?
Not Billy Brule.
Oh, how about a Fresca, Danny? Oh, yeah. Do you want to be good, Danny?
Right.
Do you want to be good?
Good, Danny. Right in the lumberyard, Danny.
I've had to send people to the gas chamber younger than you. Didn't feel like...
Didn't want to do it. Felt I owed it to
them. Didn't want to do it. Felt I owed it to them.
Well,
Danny, do you recall a conversation like that on the air yesterday?
I don't.
You were in flight.
Here, because Danny wants to be good.
Yeah. I want the scholarship.
That's exactly right. You want the scholarship, Noonan.
What are you going to do? Are you going to mow his grass? Is that next?
Yeah, the world needs ditch diggers, too.
The world needs ditch diggers, too.
Oh, Danny.
By the way, in the last 3 minutes of this program, there have been more Caddyshack references than any other radio program in history. So there's a record we hold.
Hey, Steve, weather report.
Danny wants to be good, Bob. He wants to be good.
Weather report for tomorrow is snow in the forecast.
Yeah, 1 to 3.
And bottom line is you have leaky boots that leak as bad as the Jets front office to ESPN. Where do you go?
Hilscher's General Store, my man, and I would go there right now. Okay? I mean, we told you last week, get the boots, get the outerwear. They have it, okay? For all of you who did not heed that warning, I'm sorry. We're giving you a second chance.
Well, apparently that's what's been causing the traffic on 11 and 15.
Good. Well, if you're 7 miles south of Sealands Grove, pull over to Hilscher's.
Well, they're all there now, apparently, because it's backed up from Hilscher's up to about Danville right now, about 30 miles.
That's right.
Bob, when you were out shoveling snow, did you notice the red on your hands? They wouldn't be there if you would have bought gloves from Hilscher's General Store
true.
As well.
That's exactly right. The gloves, the whole, you name it, they have it, plus so many other things. Brewers Outlet. okay? For the people you want in your home and also the vagrants that you don't, okay? You have to make sure you're like, you really can't you believe the Anderson showed up? You know? Okay, you have New Year's Eve coming up, all right? You just don't know. You want to make sure you're ready. Snacks, pickle bar, you name it, they have it. Beverages, all right? So we have all that and much more.
And
all
you
right.
Stock up before the snow.
Wait.
Oh, yeah. You have to stock up before the snow. I mean, get there tonight.
Speaking of New Year's Eve, what is the New Year's Eve celebration at the Jones House this year?
Well, the Buhners and the Joneses.
It's a lovely time we have planned.
Jason Johnson on Facebook says, Kevin, don't feel bad. I didn't get invited also.
There you go. See? Good. I'm not the only one that got okay. snubbed.
I'll be sending Jason a private email with directions.
See, I'm guessing, you know, knowing the fact that you're not normally a late nighter, I'm guessing somewhere around 11 o'clock the snoring will begin and you'll ring in the new year sometime around 6 o'clock the next morning.
Well, you got to remember, this is the first time in a long, long time I've been New Year's here.
That's true.
Can I just ask
last
how many?
Last year, I was wide awake, and I was up in the TV show Dallas.
Yeah,
I remember that show.
They would come in. You'd see the gold building, and then the big ball.
Right.
That's the Hyatt Regency. That's where we stayed. And the ball is a restaurant. And when it struck midnight last night, that's where I was.
How many years has it been that you, I mean, on the road around between Christmas, New Year's?
Well, obviously, when the Alamo Bowl year in 2007, the game was before New Year's.
Okay.
But obviously, 2004 would be the last time there's no bowl game.
So that's been... and
8 years.
Do they drop a big ball or a porcupine or a raccoon in State College to celebrate?
They have first night here.
Oh, they're great.
First night,
it's a nice celebration. It's alcohol free. It's they have a lot of beautiful ice sculptures, which based on the forecast will be easily sustained.
A lot of music.
Music, food, and it's really. I went to it years ago. I thought it was really nice.
You are aware, though, that I hate to break it to you, but Dick Clark is not hosting anymore. So I know it's been a while since you've had a chance to watch New Year's Rockin' Eve, but it's Ryan Seacrest now.
Yeah. I think they're bringing Dick back, though, just for one more encore.
All right. Now, you picked the games again this week. So what games did you pick?
Well, I didn't pick the games yet, give me a minute.
Hey, just one quick...
Oh, you've got to be kidding me.
Quick update. Remember tonight, Bucknell... Maryland.
Yeah, that's going to be at Reitz Arena. Yeah. Reitz, a little bandbox. I've done a game in Reitz, and it's a tough place to play. And Loyola played well against Bucknell last year.
So they have a big challenge. Eagle 107. They'll have it at 6:30. Yeah. Birdsong and Conrad and Company.
Yep.
This will be a big one. The Bison have to rebound from the Princeton game. By the way, I'm filling in for Kevin. Get his picks up here.
I'm ready.
Oh,
to
he's
go
ready now.
Now.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we're going to start with the Cincinnati-Baltimore game, which Danny now tells me is not as interesting as it once was.
Oh, brother. Where is the game?
Cincinnati.
Okay.
I believe it's Cincinnati, yeah.
Okay, both teams had big wins last week. I will go with Baltimore.
You know, I think Baltimore is on a little bit of a slide. I think they are very, very uncomfortable going into the playoffs. I like Cincinnati in this one.
Cincinnati, coming off that big win. Anytime Cincinnati beats the Steelers, they don't have a letdown. I'm just making that up, but yeah. It sounds good.
Nobody knows.
Exactly.
Thanks for reminding me that they lost that game, too. Appreciate that.
Actually, teams are 10-31 against the spread in the last 41 games after playing the Steelers.
You just made that one up.
No, I didn't.
I don't believe you. All right, moving on.
I'm sorry.
I don't believe that. I do not believe you. I think you made that one up.
I don't care if you believe it or not, but it is what it is. I'm sorry.
All right, fine. Chicago-Detroit.
Chicago-Detroit.
Yes.
Game is in...
I believe that one's in Detroit.
It is in Detroit.
The Lions, to their credit, have found more ways to lose. And I don't like the Bears at all, but I'll go with Chicago.
You know, I figured I've gone with the Lions the last 2 weeks, And I think the Bears have more to play for right now, except for the fact that...
Now, I want to give the Lions a lot of credit because they've allowed me to open up a lead.
There is a couple of milestones, you know, first receiver at 2,000 yards.
Yeah, but you know what? I want to give John Gruden a lot of credit as an analyst.
Okay.
He made a great point when it came to the Calvin Johnson record. Because the Lions have been behind so often, how many of these yards have been garbage yards?
Oh, yeah, I suppose. Great point. I don't know. It's kind of trying to tear apart a record, though.
No, you know what? You can look at that in the passing game. You really can't look at it as garbage yards in the running game. And here's the reason why. Most teams, when they get behind, abandon the run.
True.
Running yards are meaningful. Pass receiving yards, look, when Jerry Rice set the record back in 1995, I believe the Niners went 11-5 and they missed the playoffs that year. But you know darn well they were all meaningful, you know, the vast majority were meaningful plays, meaningful yards, meaningful catches because they were fighting for something. The Lions have been behind in so many games this year. How many of these yards have come in the fourth quarter when they're down 17 points just trying to figure out a way?
Well, let's see. It's 2,000 yards for the receiving. That's one of the records, and a 5,000-yard passing record. That, yeah, I think he's got a chance for 5,000 yards throwing as well. So I'm with you. I like Chicago in that one. Unfortunately, that's not going to help me out because you know the Lions have let me down now 2 weeks in a row.
I was actually going to this game,
because of Robbie. Yeah.
I see Robbie Gould, and of course he's on the injured reserve, out for the season. Oh, man, I can't say it, but Detroit. Oh, Robbie, forgive me. Please.
Another one of the interesting, yeah. And this might be the most interesting early game, Houston-Indianapolis.
The game's in Indy this time.
Yeah, you're right.
And I think that the way it's played out down the stretch, Indianapolis has played better than Houston. But I think in terms of a pure matchup, Houston's going to win the game in Indianapolis.
See, this is one of those I feel good about just picking opposite Steve just to try and make up some ground because I think this could go either way. So I'm going to take the Colts because he took the Texans.
Okay. There's a certain logic to that that escapes most people, but...
It works for me.
Yes.
That's all that matters.
Yeah, oh, geez.
Remember the week he picked Arizona over Seattle?
Yeah. You know, we're still laughing about that in the back office.
You wait. There'll be a week that'll just fall apart for you and I'll just never let you forget it.
We're running out of weeks in the season, Kevin.
And listen, I got plenty of time. Okay. I can wait.
You're a patient man. I like Andrew Luck in Indianapolis at home. In the dome.
They're playing better. Then one of the things will be I think Arian Foster might play this week. And they'll need him. They'll need him in a game like this.
Green Bay, Minnesota.
Well, obviously, Minnesota has a lot riding on this thing.
Sure
they
do.
Need to win to get in the playoffs. They also need to, for Adrian Peterson, a golden opportunity to get to 2,000 yards, be the seventh ever to get there. I'm going to go with Green Bay.
I just love it. You know, they got a lot to play for. They got a really good running back. I'm going to go with the other team.
I'm going to go with the team that has the quarterback.
I'm going to go with the team who needs the win. I'll take Minnesota.
I think when you need a win, you take too many chances. I like Green Bay.
Guess what? Green Bay wins the game. They get the chance at a first-round bye.
Yes. So they have something to play for. But Minnesota Minnesota could take some chances.
Listen, when you have something to play for, I'm talking about your life.
Oh.
All right? Not the fact that, we get a bye.
That's
great. Don't get me wrong. But if you don't win and you don't get in, that's a little more motivation to me.
And of course, I'd like a first-round bye.
Listen.
Okay? I don't get to play next week. I mean, I'm safely into the next round.
I'm a Steeler fan. Right now, the first-round bye doesn't mean squat to me. It means I get another chance to watch football with my team. Well, that's not going to happen. That's why I think it's more important to have whether you're in or out. All right, last game is obviously Dallas-Washington.
I'm going to pick the Redskins to win.
Yeah, I can't pick the Cowboys. It's just against my nature. But I do like the Redskins in this one at home. I think they just have too many. If RG3's 85%, I still say that's better than most quarterbacks at 100% with what he can bring to the table.
Well, the one of the key components with him, though, and we're going to find out in the first two series of the game, his mobility is important. He is in the third week of a 2 to 4 week rehab on that knee. He should have more mobility. Last week, he only ran the ball 2 times.
But I think... No, go ahead. I'm sorry, Steve. I didn't mean to...
Did I say he only ran the ball twice?
Yes.
Yes. I just think the threat of having him run the ball, and again, I love it when they run the pistol formation because I really think it makes defenses freeze because they have to respect 3 different plays that can go in 6 different directions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And even if he isn't 100% mobile, even if he isn't able to run the ball, still the ability to ride the running back the way he does with that midline option style, the way Baylor did last night, as a matter of fact, you know, just makes it all the much more difficult to defend.
Doesn't Dan Connor play for the Cowboys?
He replaced Sean Lee at linebacker.
Exactly. Then I'm going with the Cowboys. I've always been a Dan Connor fan, and I think the Redskins will take it very cautiously on their offensive play calling because of RG3's knee issue. They don't want to hurt him for the real games in the playoffs. So I think Dallas has a good shot at this, and I like him. Dan Connor will have a few tackles.
The update on the afternoon bowl game, Ohio thumping Louisiana Monroe 45-14. That is early in the fourth.
It'll be their second consecutive bowl win.
You know, Steve, you said something way back in August that I remember when we were talking about the Ohio game, you know, being on the schedule first for Penn State, and you said ESPN had predicted them to go undefeated this year.
Right.
Well, they didn't, obviously, but they've not had a bad season.
They haven't, but, you know, the MAC ended up being a little deeper and tougher, I think, than people realize. Northern Illinois is going to the Orange Bowl.
Are they really? Who are they playing? I'm only kidding.
Florida, yeah. and Kent State. I mean, they ended up being a deeper conference.
Bowling Green?
Than some people realize. Bowling Green, which lost a tough one to San Jose State yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, good San Jose State, too.
Yeah, good San Jose. Their coach ended up getting another job out of the thing. So,
yeah.
So those are the games. All right, so
I'm sending you a text on New Year's on Orange Bowl Day, not New Year's Day. I almost said New Year's Day out of habit, but on Orange Bowl Day, Northern Illinois scores.
What day is Orange Bowl Day?
Isn't that the fourth?
That would also be New Year's Day.
Is the Orange Bowl on New Year's Day?
It's after the Rose Bowl.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, at night, 8 o'clock.
I was thinking that was one of the other games.
Then I'll be able to see it. I didn't think I'd be able to see it because I have a travel day and a night game.
See, again, that's my problem with the BCS. It screwed up all the games, and now I can't remember where they are. I had a routine.
Didn't you like it when there were simpler times? There were 4 bowl games. They were all played on New Year's Day.
That's the way it was, and we liked it that way.
And the biggest it was trying to figure out whether you're going to watch the Sugar Bowl or the Cotton Bowl at 1 o'clock.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
Because the Rose Bowl was on at 4, and the Orange Bowl was on at 8.
Right. So. Don Crickey in the Orange Bowl. All right.
Now doing Notre Dame football.
Yeah, well, he'll be in the Orange Bowl.
Yes, he will. That's ironic, isn't it?
Ironic. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment. Today's show being brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Your New Year's party starts with a trip to Brewers Outlet. This is your pick week. Either Coors Light or Miller Lite, $12.95 per case of 10-ounce cans. That's only $3.24 a six-pack. And check this out. Moosehead bottles at the unbelievable price of $17.88.
Wow.
Smirnoff coolers, $25.95. Brewers Outlet, the beverage supermarket, your beer and snack destination. Try the fresh roasted peanuts, go to the pickle bar, and don't forget the Miller Lite and Coors Light $12.95 special at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Well, did you see the phone man is running for the Nets job? That's right, our man, Kelvin Sampson. Late of Oklahoma, late of Indiana. Now an assistant coach with the Houston Rockets. If Phil Jackson says no, the phone man might be involved. How about that? Now, Kevin has a game coming up. Well, you have a game tonight, right?
That's right. It's the Holiday River Tournament Championship game, a rematch from about 2 weeks ago. Shikellamy,
Mifflin
County.
That was quite a drive for you yesterday based on the text I was getting.
You know, I love speech to text. I would like all the state troopers to know on 522, it was speech to text, not texting while driving.
I don't think there's a difference in the eyes of the law, Kevin. I want to break it to you.
I don't know about that. Speech to text is not texting.
Steve, do you want to break the news to him, or should I?
Oh, I think we ought to let State Trooper break the news.
But yeah, the Shikellamy wins yesterday over Octorara area, and they'll play Mifflin County at 8 tonight, and we'll have pregame actually about 7:30 with the Chief Dave Ritchie joining me again.
Wonderful. So, that's
big,
great.
Big weekend in sports with lots of bowl games. NFL, of course, we've already taken that apart and turned it inside out and put it back together.
We'll have a show on Monday. We'll be on Monday. We'll preview the New Year's Day games for you, including Northern Illinois and Florida State. Northern Illinois has a very good offense. A very good offense. And a very good quarterback. But, so does Florida State.
Yeah.
Come January 5th, you'll be wearing a Huskies hat online at stevejonesshow.com.
Yeah, again, Kevin, the game is on New Year's Day.
I know that. That's why I had to get time to get the hat mailed to Steve.
I think you should take it out to him.
Danny. Thanks a lot.
I think if this comes through, Kevin, you need to drive it out to Steve's house, personally deliver it to him, make sure he has it.
Somebody has to take the picture because I know
exactly.
He knows people that know Photoshop, and that's not going to work. You thought Sarah Bartlett in a Steeler jersey was big on our website. Wait for this one.
I'm really not that concerned.
Silence from the man in the Sunbury Motor Studio.
I'm really not that concerned. It's not going to happen.
Traffic report, it's still backed up all the way to Hilshire's General Store and Brewer's Outlet. I just want to...
Beautiful. Beautiful.
People are stocking up on boots, gloves, and adult beverages.
Beverages, refreshing adult beverages.
Yes.
Look, Northern Illinois, Florida State, I know you want me to wear the hat the whole thing. It's not going to happen. This is Cincinnati, Hawaii all over again. Sorry. Sorry.
Wearing the hat. Happy New Year, bud.
Happy New Year, Steve.
Happy New Year, guys. Happy New Year, Danny. We will be back on Monday, 3 to 5, with all the fun and frivolity that is this show. So we're looking forward to that. Our New Year's Eve edition. Kevin will tell us that 8 Olympians should all be Athlete of the Year. I get baffled.